Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I think we better split up.
It hurts so much.
My life's a shambles.
My parents splitting up has been really hard on me growing up.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, divorce is one of the most painful experiences you can ever go through. And if you've had a marriage end in divorce, you know what I'm talking about. But even if you haven't, well, the chances are good that someone very close to you has gone through a divorce, and it may have been your own parents when you were growing up. Well, divorce can hit just like the death of a loved one. It hurts. It's never easy, but it doesn't mean you'll never experience anything joyful or meaningful ever again. Well, during the next half hour, we're going to talk about finding new life after your divorce. I've asked Bill Butterworth to join me for this conversation. Bill's an amazing communicator who really knows how to connect with men, women, and children who found their lives turned upside down by divorce. So keep it right here on Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Bill Butterworth is with us. We're talking about healing the hurt after your marriage ends. Bill Butterworth is really one of the finest communicators in America, in my humble opinion. He's an author, has written a great book called The Promise of the Second Wind. It's never too late to pursue God's best, as well as a book that we're going to talk about today, New Life After Divorce, The Promise of Hope Beyond Pain. Graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary and married to Kathy, and they live in Newport Beach, California. Bill, we finally meet.
Yes, Jim, it's been worth the wait. This is terrific. How are you doing?
I have enjoyed so much. We need to get on with the program because I've enjoyed talking with you so much, but your influence and impact wherever I go is just wonderful, and I appreciate so much your faithfulness to God and the great job you do communicating
His
Word.
Well, that's kind of you to say that, and likewise. Well, you are known everywhere.
Well, here's the deal. You speak and write about divorce because you lived through one. Why don't you tell us about what happened, how your first marriage ended?
Well, we were married for 17 years, and there are five children in our family, a daughter and four sons. And it was, from outward appearances, a pretty typical marriage and pretty typical family sort of thing. And then it ended. And it was absolutely a devastating time for me. I mean, it was really a difficult thing to try and figure out what was my level of responsibility in this, and how do I try to pick myself up and move on with my life. And to further emphasize the irony, I had spent several years of my life as a counselor, so I was supposed to be academically and theologically prepared to handle this. And in God's grace, I became probably the biggest basket case you ever saw. I mean, a typical day would find me packing lunch and making breakfast for my kids and sending them off, and I'd still be in my robe, and I'd just curl up on a couch and pull the curtains and curl up in the fetal position. I mean, I just couldn't figure out what I was going to do with my life. And I think being that vulnerable and explaining that, it helps a lot of folks who are going through the same kind of pain realize you're really not alone when you deal with this kind of stuff. As epidemic as divorce is, and I'm sure we can all be very clear from the outset, talking about recovering from a divorce is in no way advocating divorce and saying, this would be a good thing for you today, listener, if your marriage is really in a heap. You know, we're not saying that at all, but we're saying when it does happen that you tend to think, well, there are divorces and then there's my divorce. You know, nobody's going through it like I'm going through it. And there are a lot of commonalities, sure. And it includes that really intense pain.
I'll see that sometimes when two people have been through a divorce, maybe not the same story, but when they do get together, they become kind of almost instant soulmates because they're talking through this pain. Now, you were a Christian speaker, you obviously are, but even through this, you were speaking, you were at family camps and you were talking about things, and all of a sudden there's a divorce. Did you feel like a second-class citizen?
Very much so. It felt like I was unable to continue what I really enjoyed. I mean, I think I wrote in the book, for most folks, Divorce feels like a shot in the gut. And for me, it was like a double-barreled shotgun because I got one barrel by losing the most significant human relationship I had ever had up to that point. And then secondly, it wiped me out vocationally. I mean, seriously, sure. Would you want me to come and do your couples retreat if you had heard I had just, been through a divorce? I mean, there was an inconsistency there. Right. So I had to basically get off the road and just try to take some time to heal. And that's probably a positive way to say it. I mean, the reality is not working. I was going into debt, and it was a very, very difficult time to go through the stages of grief, if you will, to kind of work through that. But you do get through it, and God put some great friends around me and some great counselors. And in regards to like that whole stages of grief kind of thing, I think what I discovered is different people grieve at different time levels. As much as we want to quantify, you were married 17 years, well, that means you will grieve, 38 months. You just can't do that. No. Granted, some will move through it quicker than others, and we always want to be suspicious of the extremes, like, sure. Wow, you've really recovered quickly. I mean, 12 hours and you're a new man. that's an issue, right. As opposed to, well, now come on, it's been 17 years since, right. Your marriage. I mean, there are issues, right. That we have to kind of work through at our own timetable.
Now, you're kind of describing, we had an email in the last week at Homeward where the woman was talking about going through a divorce, had not been that long. And she said, it's overwhelming. I'm lost. What would you say to somebody who says that?
Well, the first thing I would say is, welcome to the club. If you are not feeling that way immediately in the early stages of your divorce, I guess the clinical term would be you're in denial. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it is an overwhelming and devastating kind of experience. I mean, from the biblical standpoint, anybody who's gone through divorce understands why it says in the Bible that God hates divorce. I mean, why would God ever want one of his children to experience something to this degree of pain? Yeah. So when someone would write that kind of thing, I'd say, well, first of all, you need to know that you're not alone, but that secondly, you will get through it. It does seem like all hope is lost. But, actually, the publishers put a great line on the back of my book. It says, it's the end of your marriage, not of your life. Mm. We link the two together early on. It's like, oh, my goodness, if I've lost my marriage, there's hardly any reason to go on. I mean, how am I ever going to face people, who know me as a married guy? And how am I, I'm too old to start dating again. And I mean, I didn't date well as a teenager, and now I'm a middle-aged man. You're going to throw me into this again. This is crazy. We make all these excuses or create all these circumstances. And the reality is, you're not alone, but you will get through it. It's the whole biblical idea of the fellowship of suffering.
Interesting. That's how I would summarize your book. It was a very hopeful book.
Well, thanks. I mean, and that was truly the intent. I felt like there are good theological, theoretical, therapeutic, textbook types of books out there. I wanted to be kind of the come alongside. I've walked in the same path that you have walked, and I've been able to come through, and God has seen us through and done some great things in our family. So I want to offer that hope to anybody in that situation.
And yet it's real. What do you see as the toughest thing that happened to you initially as you became single again?
Well, the career thing was a very difficult thing for me because, like I said, that created even more difficult issues on a financial level. It's always tough to deal with it when there are children involved because you see how this affects your kids and you just don't want to put your kids through that. And so watching other people experience that pain and yet being so kind of emotionally deplete yourself that you really can't offer them all that much encouragement. I mean, it's just a real difficult, very painful thing.
I mean, in some ways, it's what we, when we talk about kids dealing with self-acceptance, you had to kind of learn to accept yourself again and be God's child in the midst of all this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that really is one of the kind of hidden time bombs in a divorce is if you happen to be an adult who struggled with self-image as a child. I mean, for me, having done just that, struggled with self-esteem as a child, my first wife was kind of a validation that, right. Well, look at me. I married this beautiful, godly woman, and I am someone. And then that person goes away and it's like, wow, everything sure. I had kind of put in that compartment is now gone. And so there are lots of self-esteem issues that really make the struggle even more painful.
He is speaking the truth. And if you are listening to the Homeward broadcast right now and hearing these words from Bill Butterworth, and it resonates with you because you've gone through a divorce and possibly even getting into remarriage season, we know that Bill is here to encourage you. And if you are not divorced, but you know somebody who is, I hope these words from Bill Butterworth and Dr. Jim Burns are an encouragement as well. Bill is the author of the book New Life After Divorce. And today here on the Homeward broadcast, we're talking about finding new life after your divorce. So remember, all of the program material that we broadcast here on Homeward is archived at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
So have you told the kids yet?
How can I?
But Mary, you have to. I mean, haven't they begun to notice that their dad isn't around much anymore?
The truth? They're so used to him being gone so much, I guess it's not that big of a deal to them.
Have you talked to him about custody of the kids?
No, but I want to be sure the kids stay with me. If they only knew what a jerk he's been to us, they'd hate him as much as I do.
If you're divorcing your spouse, it's important to remember that the two of you made the decision to separate. Your kids didn't. And while I know you're in a difficult position, you really owe it to your kids to talk the situation through with them, rather than putting them in a position where they have to choose between mom and dad. Make sure they hear you say your divorce had nothing to do with them. Tell them often how much you love them. And if you'd like to read my tip sheet called Tips for Helping Your Kids Deal with Divorce, you can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, we're talking with Bill Butterworth, in my humble opinion, one of America's great communicators. We're talking about healing the hurt after your marriage ends. And there is so much pain and self-acceptance issues and all these different problems. You had something that you called in your book, the Valentine's Day Massacre. Tell us about that.
Well, anybody who is listening who has been through a divorce or knows someone that has been through a divorce knows that one of the great ironies in life is so many of the moments in time that we treasure so much as a happily married, all-together family become some of the most painful experiences we can go through. Christmas is an example for the family. And then Valentine's Day, I was convinced as a newly single again person that Valentine's Day was truly some sort of satanic right. holiday that right. came out of, you know, devil worship that should have right. been, you know, banned years ago. Because Valentine's Day all implies that you have a Valentine, that you have right. a sweetheart. Right. So here I am, it's my first year, it's my first February, single again. And as I mentioned, I really wasn't working, but the generosity of a friend, I was brought on in a ghostwriting project. So I went to an unnamed Midwestern city and began working for this person for the ghostwriting project. And it was in February, and the guys were working with actually a committee of people. We're writing a book by committee. It's a fascinating thing, Jim, if you're interested. I need to get on it. It's a great way to write a book. You don't have to do anything, basically. Just sit in a room and, you know, pontificate. But anyway, we're there, and all of a sudden, everybody realizes, oh my goodness, it's February 14th. We got to get out of here. We got to go take our wives to Valentine's Day. So there's like 10 people in the room. The room empties with the exception of two of us, and we're the two out-of-town guys. And our host, as he's just about leaving, says, oh, I forgot about you guys. Listen, there's a 4-star restaurant here at this hotel. Just put it on my tab. Have a great time. So it's myself and Randy from Texas. So Randy says, well, let me go up and call my wife and wish her happy Valentine's Day, and I'll meet you downstairs and we'll go to dinner. Well, you're just furious when all this is going on. Why does Randy have to go upstairs and say happy Valentine's Day to his wife? Can't I just have somebody who understands? So he comes back down. We go over to the restaurant, and I go up to the maitre d' and I say table for two. And he says, oh, monsieur, tonight all tables are tables for two. And I look around, and we are the only same-sex table for two in the whole restaurant. And they're just moving people through as tables become available. Because of our luck of the draw, we get the finest table in the restaurant in front of this massive fireplace. We're sweating like pigs, halfway because we're by this fire, mostly because we're humiliated. You know, this girl comes over to our table offering us long stem roses, and it's like, which one of us is going to take the rose? And Randy's from Texas. He screams out, "Give it to that guy," pointing to me. "He's from California." Like, that's somehow supposed to explain everything. You know, and then the waiter comes over. Dear. I mean, it was just one debacle after another. And when it was over, I went upstairs, and in good typical macho manly man fashion, I fell on my bed and just cried like a baby on my pillow, saying, why do I have to be the only person in America that doesn't have a date on Valentine's Day? Yeah. That's almost the point of the story, in terms of, you know what? Realistically, I am not the only person in America who didn't have a date for Valentine's Day. But when you are in that situation, you feel that way.
When you're feeling that way, Bill, one of the things that you had to learn was to let others help you. You're a people helper. That's what you've done. That's what you do. That's who you are in many ways. It sounds like it was hard for you to sometimes let people in at the beginning.
Yeah. Looking back, one of the things that I would definitely have in place, and I do now more back then than I did, was a circle of friends who could really be of more help to me. I mean, when I go out and speak on this now, I usually talk about what I call the three great needs of a single again person. I need acceptance from myself, I need help from others, and I need healing from God. And that really summarizes what we're looking for in trying to get back on track and grow through the pain of our divorce. And so for me, as you mentioned, it involved being a little more available to have folks help me. I mean, in all sorts of levels, from the mundane to I have five kids. I mean, I needed help when I was married. That's just a lot of kids, you know? So whether it's carpool or whatever it is, I need help with that. And all the way to the very significant issues, like I need professional help. I need somebody who can help me talk through my pain, and as a counselor, help me understand, you know, maybe why I'm feeling what I'm feeling, and explore the areas that would be blind spots to me.
Now, I know the church is a great place of healing and hope, but in this particular case, somebody says, you know, it's not there. Where do they go? What do they do?
I would encourage them by saying, I understand that feeling perfectly, but the good news is there are more and more churches who are opening their arms to those of us that have gone through the pain of a divorce. Every time I get a chance to be in front of pastors or any sort of church leadership, I say, open your arms to divorced people as wide as you can, and bring them in and hug them as tightly as you can. And don't ever stop teaching the permanence of marriage and the beauty of marriage and how God wants marriage to be till death do us part. And it can be both and, as opposed to either or.
I appreciate you saying that. One of the things that you talk about in your book, and it's interesting because when you are going through the wounds of a divorce and they're fairly fresh and tender, the last thing you think about is making more change. But you're recommending actually that you do that. You make some changes, positive mentally, physically, spiritually.
Well, yeah, because some changes are happening. I mean, probably the most ridiculous statement about change is happening whether you choose to accept it or not. And when you really get your hands around that, you understand then what I want to do is embrace that change and move along with it. Physically, for example, when you go through a crisis period, lots of strange things can happen to your body. You can, for example, stop eating and lose all kinds of weight, and for a small window of time, be at your perfect weight and look great. And then all of a sudden, you just keep losing. You look where, and then for some of the rest of us, you know, maybe, well, crisis makes me, you know, insert the entire refrigerator in my mouth and then just spit out the hardware. You know, I mean, I'm just packing it on like never. Right. Well, if I understand that crisis is going to create some change in my life, maybe I need to put some more change into effects, such as if I am eating an entire refrigerator each meal, maybe I need to have a little bit more of a specific exercise program, or join a gym, or get some partners and go walking every morning, or, you know, something that helps the change be very, very positive. And so there are things that, you know, I've journaled for years, but I think some of the richest writing I've ever done in my journal were those years surrounding, you know, coming out of my divorce. I mean, just pages and pages of really pouring out my heart.
When you're going through pain and then you embrace it, you also turn to God. Where was God in the midst of this?
Well, for me, I'm very pleased to be able to say that I never doubted God in the midst of all my crisis. And that almost sounds like a proud statement, and I need to be careful of how that comes across, because I know many, many really good people, good, solid believers, who go through deep periods of doubt, even about God's hand in their life, when they go through pain. But the issue is, whether I choose to accept that or not, God is with me. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And the theology of God helping us grow through our pain. Now, I'll let the theologians debate for generations whether God causes it or God allows it or how the pain occurs. But boom, it's there. And God says, I will help you grow through it, and you will be a stronger, deeper, better person, because you have walked with me through your pain. That really sounds great. And anybody listening on the radio say, wow, well, that just sounds, well, that guy, that doesn't sound real. Because I know also when you're going through it, God can feel very distant. And for me, God wasn't distant as much as he was slow. I remember taking my Bible and getting a good old-fashioned concordance and looking up every verse in the Bible that included the word wait, or patient, or patience. And if anybody does that, let me warn you, there's way more in there than you would have ever anticipated. And it's a very odd kind of study, because you realize God is a God who teaches us great lessons through patience, through waiting. His plans are not our plans. His timing is not our timing. You know, we're always trying to hurry up God. You know, can we make this happen? And, you know, pain makes people take a whole different plan on God's will. Well, actually, the way God's will works is I write it out for him, fax it to him, he signs off and faxes it back, and everything's good. Well, when he doesn't operate under my script, I'm learning valuable lessons. Yeah. And so I need to really be aware of that and be open to that. And teachings of others, good books, tapes, you know, just opening yourself up more than ever to good teaching and listening to God talking to
good.
You.
Well, the time's gone by so fast. I've got to have you come back next time. So I want to talk about your new marriage. I want to talk about the blended family and how you've kind of done that in terms of with your own kids. You have some phenomenal kids. So you got to come back next time, can you?
I guaranteed. I'm here.
And it's good to know that Bill Butterworth will be joining us again for part two of this conversation here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our theme today, Finding New Life After Your Divorce. And Bill is the author of the book, New Life After Divorce. It's a very, very helpful book, speaking from experience, having read it. And also knowing, too, that when you hear Bill speak and tell his story, you can see that there was a lot of hurt, obviously, a lot of discomfort. And then there's been a lot of pain and healing. And now he's been a real instrument for help and hope for people who are going through this. So we highly recommend his book, New Life After Divorce. We've got it up at homeward.com if you want to take a look at it there, and also the resources available in the articles and media section at homeward.com to help you if this is your story as well.
My thanks to Bill Butterworth for joining me here today in studio. And as you heard Bill share from his own experience about finding new life after divorce, it's easy to see why he's one of the most in-demand speakers on this topic. He's a great guy, and I appreciate him being genuine and authentic about this conversation. We'll have more from Bill on our next program. Before our time is through today, I wanted to leave you with a quick story, and I think it's a story of hope. You know, Kathy and I have a good friend. I'm going to call her Susan. That's not her real name. And she got married to a man, and that marriage ended with a bit of abuse. It ended with two children, a lot of bitterness, and kind of in a mess. And I think Susan made one of the smartest decisions she could ever make. She said, I don't want to go through this again. It's too painful, and it's hurting the children. And so as she healed from her divorce, she decided to bring people around her who could help her make right and wise decisions. She spent a couple of years in a support group of people that she chose from her church, and she said, help me do this right, and let me bring things past you in terms of various relationships. Susan chose sexual integrity and purity as a part of that. It's not easy, I understand, for people who have been married before to go that way, even for Christians. Well, after a couple of years, she married a wonderful man, and she pretty much got the blessing of her support group to do it. Today, they have a beautiful marriage, and they have done a very good job of blending their family. And I would say it was because Susan took the courageous decision to allow a support group of friends to speak into her life. Well, I think that's a great story of hope, and I want to challenge you that if you're a person who's trying to find new life after divorce, or if you're someone who needs to pass this CD along or this book along to somebody else, then I want to encourage you that there is great hope for people who struggle with this issue.
Well, as far as the book goes, we've got it up at homeward.com, and you can buy it wherever Christian books are sold, and we highly recommend it. We're not selling books on our website other than Jim's books, but we do recommend Bill Butterworth's book, New Life After Divorce. But as far as the CD goes, that's easy. All you have to do is drop us a line here at homeward.com, include a gift of any amount in support of our ministry, and when you do, Ben will be happy to burn you a copy of the CD. Just let us know that you would like this CD from Bill Butterworth and Dr. Jim Burns, Finding New Life After Your Divorce. And you can handle that transaction through homeward.com, or you can call us at 800-397-9725. Back to the website for just a moment. When you go there, you're going to find a variety of different resources in the articles and media section. You'll find a lot of articles and tip sheets and even video clips on how to work through issues like healing up after a divorce. That's all available to you without cost when you go there at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.